To this wild abyss, the womb of nature and perhaps her grave, of neither sea, nor shore, nor air, nor fire, but all these in their pregnant causes mixed confusedly, and which thus must ever fight, unless the Almighty Maker them ordain, his dark materials to create more worlds. Into this wild abyss, the wary fiend stood on the brink of hell and looked a while, pondering his voyage. John Milton, Paradise Lost, Book 2.
Part 1, Oxford. Chapter 1, The Decanter of Tokai. Lyra and her demon moved through the darkening hall, taking care to keep to one side, out of sight of the kitchen. The three great tables that ran the length of the hall were laid already, the silver and the glass catching what little light there was, and the long benches were pulled out ready for the guests. Portraits of former masters hung high up in the gloom along the walls. Lyra reached the dais and looked back at the open kitchen door, and, seeing no one, stepped up beside the high table. The places here were laid with gold, not silver, and the 14 seats were not oak benches but mahogany chairs with velvet cushions. Lyra stopped beside the master's chair and flicked the biggest glass gently with a fingernail. The sound rang clearly through the hall.
"You're not taking this seriously,"
whispered her demon.
"Behave yourself."
Her demon's name was Pantalaimon, and he was currently in the form of a moth, a dark brown one so as not to show up in the darkness of the hall.
"They're making too much noise to hear from the kitchen,"
Lyra whispered back.
"And the steward doesn't come in till the first bell. Stop fussing."
But she put her palm over the ringing crystal anyway, and Pantalaimon fluttered ahead and through the slightly open door of the retiring room at the other end of the dais. After a moment, he appeared again.
"There's no one there, but we must be quick."
Crouching behind the high table, Lyra darted along and through the door into the retiring room, where she stood up and looked around. The only light in here came from the fireplace, where a bright blaze of logs settled slightly as she looked, sending a fountain of sparks up into the chimney. She had lived most of her life in the college, but had never seen the retiring room before. Only scholars and their guests were allowed in here, and never females. Even the maidservants didn't clean in here. That was the butler's job alone. Pantalaimon settled on her shoulder.
"Happy now? Can we go?"
"Don't be silly. I want to look around."
It was a large room, with an oval table of polished rosewood on which stood various decanters and glasses and a silver smoking stand with a rack of pipes. On a sideboard nearby, there was a little chafing dish and a basket of poppy heads.
"They do themselves well, don't they, Pan?"
She sat in one of the green leather armchairs. It was so deep she found herself nearly lying down, but she sat up again and tucked her legs under her to look at the portraits on the walls. More old scholars, probably. Robed, bearded and gloomy, they stared out of their frames in solemn disapproval.
"What do you think they talk about?"
Lyra said, or began to say, because before she'd finished the question she heard voices outside the door.
"Behind the chair, quick!"
whispered Pantalaimon, and in a flash Lyra was out of the armchair and crouching behind it. It wasn't the best one for hiding behind. She'd chosen one in the very centre of the room, and unless she kept very quiet... The door opened, and the light changed in the room. One of the incomers was carrying a lamp, which he put down on the sideboard. Lyra could see his legs in their dark green trousers and shiny black shoes. It was a servant. Then a deep voice said,
"Has Lord Asriel arrived yet?"
It was the master. As Lyra held her breath, she saw the servant's demon, a dog like all servants' demons, trot in and sit quietly at his feet. And then the master's feet became visible too in the shabby black shoes he always wore.
"No, master,"
said the butler.
"No word from the aerodoc either."
"I expect he'll be hungry when he arrives. Show him straight into hall, will you?"
"Very good, master."
"And you've decanted some of the special Tokai for him?"
"Yes, master. The 1898 as you ordered. His lordship is very partial to that, I remember."
"Good. Now leave me, please."
"Do you need the lamp, master?"
"Yes, leave that too. Look in during dinner to trim it, will you?"
The butler bowed slightly and turned to leave, his demon trotting obediently after him. From her not much of a hiding place, Lyra watched as the master went to a large oak wardrobe in the corner.